Welcome into the Nuts. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, alongside Mike Palm. We're going to have former NHL player and Circa Casino host Darren Banks join us a little bit later on. Want to bring you up to date on some live scores of games in progress. You might want to get in on those. Let's take a look at those early on right now. We're going to start in college basketball in Philadelphia at the Leah Corsa Center right now. It is Temple all over Tulsa, 44-25 at halftime. Mike, Temple went off as a one-point underdog at home in this one and jumped out and really taking care of business in this one early.
We took a lot of Tulsa money late here, Amal, right before the game in the last 15 minutes.
Well, you know what? You guys look like you're going to be able to hold on to that money so far. We'll see. Still a long way to go. But Tulsa offensively struggles. Only shoots the ball at about 29% from deep. I don't know if they'll be able to make a push in this one to be able to come back. Let's go across the pond. Your specialty. I'll tell you what. I was thinking about the soccer game you gave last night. Interpol doesn't find games as well as you do. I mean, you go to Mexico, you find an easy win. We'll get into that one a little bit later on. But right now, we've got a game going on between Crystal Palace and West Ham United. It's West Ham United leading 2-1 at Sellerhurst Park in London.
Crystal Palace, one shot on goal. It was in the third minute, and they scored. And then it's been all West Ham since then.
Yeah, I tell you what, they decided to take the rest of the half off. Leeds United underway right now, taking on Newcastle United at St. James Park in Newcastle. This is a game right now where you've got Leeds leading 1-0. This is one I think you had a little bit of concern with in terms of the total.
Well, yesterday was 2.5 juice to the under or to the over, and I said it would get to 3, and it did. It was 3 pre-flop. What's been surprising in this game is Newcastle has controlled the action for most of the game, Amal, but Leeds did counterattack and score. I bet this game in game. I took it under 3 minus 190 around the 27th minute, and then at the 30th minute, I took it under 2.5 plus 155. My goal is to get off of this. Let's get to the 60-minute mark. If I can get 15 clean minutes here, you can get over 2.5, probably plus 140 or 145. That'll give you a value middle on the 2.5s, and it'll give you set you up for a middle if the game lands 3.
Well, I think your fear is justified in this one. You look at it, 13 shots on goal so far in this matchup. Only one on target thus far. You look on the other side there. We mentioned the Crystal Palace game against West Ham United. Crystal Palace with just the one shot. West Ham United dominating with 8 shots on goal so far. We'll get into a little bit more soccer a little bit later on. A couple of matches coming up at 3:15 Eastern, 12:15 Pacific time, including Manchester City. You might be interested in that game. Should be prohibitive favorites. We'll get into that one coming up. But Mike, I want to turn our attention briefly, and I know we're going to get into this in depth, the NFL. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Injury reports coming right now in terms of their offensive line. Mitchell Schwartz, the great guard, he looks like he's going to be unable to go. We already know Eric Fisher. Remember, the first overall pick, 2-time Pro Bowler, who's going to be out with an Achilles injury. That is alarming when you look at how much Tampa was able to abuse the Green Bay offensive line.
Yeah, I don't want to go into a Super Bowl without both tackles. After seeing Tampa win that game because they were able to pressure Rodgers. I mean, that's how they stopped them. It was the sacks. Rodgers only turned the ball over once. So, I mean, if they're able to pressure Mahomes, and we know he's not 100%. We saw he was still a little bit gimpy there. He got a little cagey with some of those runs, but he is not running with any force. He's not driving off the ball. If Tampa is able to attack this offensive line for the Chiefs, they've got a live shot here.
I would agree with you completely. To me, it's not a foregone conclusion that you take the Kansas City Chiefs at the -3. Look, it's a completely different matchup, and here's how I would present it. Do you believe Tampa at home is actually in a worse spot than Buffalo was on the road getting 3? Think about that for a second, right? You've got the Buffalo Bills going on the road only getting 3 points, and you've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their home stadium now getting 3.
With a kid, Josh Allen, who'd never been to a conference championship game compared to Tom Brady playing in his 10th Super Bowl.
I wasn't sure if Tom Brady had been in a Super Bowl, but I'm glad you clarified that for me. I mean, look, you look at the experience, you look at the belief in this team. I think what catapulted them was the win in New Orleans. Give them all the credit in the world for getting out of that game. 3 turnovers forced in the second half. But more importantly, you could see the experience of Brady. I mean, look, granted, Brady was terrible in the second half, but that first half, he was vintage Tom Brady.
He's starting to look a little bit more like Philip Rivers, where he's just he's just lofting these balls out there now. But he's not afraid to take the deep shots. They do this. I mean, Arians does this. Third and short, they like to extend the ball down the field and try to hit a big play. He was very precise in the first half of that game, though, and built that lead.
By the way, I love your Philip Rivers analogy, because he was full Philip Rivers when he threw that ball into the ground on 3rd down and 8. I don't know if anybody does that better than Philip Rivers, but Tom Brady did try to go Rivers there on that one. We'll see what they're able to do the rest of the way in terms of this matchup. Any more injuries that come out, that's something to keep an eye out for. I don't expect too many concerns from a COVID perspective, because I think both teams would take this very seriously, especially with the Chiefs with a chance to run it back. Welcome into the Nuts. I'm your host, Amal Shaw, along with Mike Palm. Mike, this is a terrific day of sports. We've got in-game action, which we just talked about briefly a minute ago, with Tulsa obviously playing against Temple in college basketball. Those T's, all of them, screwing me up right now. But the reality of it is, to me, when you look at this matchup, you've got a team that's up by 19 points at home. They were getting a point, but you said late money came in on Tulsa.
The public was on Tulsa. There was some sharp money on Temple early. It was an interesting game, the standalone game in the morning. You look at the game, you'd think Tulsa would have been favored, but I think the sharps were on the right side here, obviously, with such a big lead at halftime.
Yeah, absolutely right. Blowout city so far. We'll see if this one holds up, but you would expect it to with such a large lead. Want to switch back to the National Football League. Obviously, the big game coming up in less than 2 weeks. Are you concerned about Kansas City? Because it's about giving Mahomes time. We saw when Rodgers didn't have time how he struggled in that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To me, if this team has time, I don't think Tampa's going to be able to compete. If he doesn't have time, I think Tampa wins this game. And I'm not going to suggest it's not going to be close, but I feel like it's going to be a good comfort level for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, this Chiefs offense over the past several seasons is really unstoppable unless you can get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. But now take any team in the league, you take your two tackles away and tell me how good you're going to defend your quarterback, how good you're going to protect him. This is a very serious thing with these injuries with these tackles. And I actually think if you see this number, which I thought would drift again over 3, will not go over 3, but will stay on 3 all the way up until kickoff.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think this number is right where it should be. The thing that I always try to look at is the matchups and how they kind of play out from a point spread perspective, right? Buffalo getting 3 on the road. Now, all of a sudden, Kansas City, a road team. I get it won't be the same home field advantage that Tampa had when they played earlier this year, and that game wound up 27-24. But for me, it's a little bit disconcerting when you look at the number and say, why is this one at 3 now in the same situation? I get Tampa's playing much better, but and that's why, to me, is there a potential? Do you see any scenario in which this thing comes off of the 3?
I just don't, because I don't think that the money would go to Kansas City here, I think, that would take this back up. You saw people grab the 3. There were several sharp people I talked to Sunday afternoon that really thought this game would open 4. And so when they saw the 3, they grabbed it up. It went to 3.5 in a lot of spots, and then it settled back in at 3. I don't see it coming down, because if I think you get to 2.5, you're going to get pounded, and it's going to go right back to 3. So I think you're just going to see the juice move on the 3 here.
Yeah, that's one concern I have when you look at it. This is one I thought the number was going to open at 4. I was really surprised when I saw it at 3, Mike. But obviously, that's where the number sits right now. Total at 56.5 is something to keep an eye out for. I think we could potentially see that one drop a little bit.
Well, I think it will go down. I think with these tackles out, you're going to see this number drop. It dropped probably around 55. I know the public mind, they're always going to bet over in these games, but the sharp money will be on the opposite side. I don't think the number stays at 56.5. I would predict 55.5 or 55.
I want to switch a little bit to contract talk. Aaron Rodgers, he wants a new contract. He's still got a number of years left on his contract. He ranks 5th in average money. I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's a better time in his career to be able to ask for more money than right now. You've got a quarterback who could theoretically force his way out of Green Bay despite having a number of years left on his contract. And to me, I would go to them and say, listen, I need a better coach. I mean, this guy has been stuck with Mike McCarthy and Matt LaFleur in his career. I said if Green Bay had the guts and if Troy Aikman had the guts, both of them should have made the call right then and there. We're going to fire Matt LaFleur in that situation immediately. It was just a horrendous decision.
Well, I mean, when you look at the list of who's above him, there's no way you can justify Roethlisberger at this point in his career making more money than Rodgers. Russell Wilson, a little bit of an argument. Deshaun Watson still hasn't proven it. A tremendous amount of potential in Houston, but they haven't gotten anywhere. And then, of course, Mahomes right now, the best quarterback in the game. I think he has all the cards in his hand now. If he's going to get a contract, is it going to be in Green Bay? Is he going to force a trade and get a big contract somewhere else?
Look, I think if you're looking for a quarterback, I mean, who would you want more than obviously Patrick Mahomes? But Aaron Rodgers would probably be number 2 on that list. And to me, in this situation, it's a great opportunity if you are Aaron Rodgers to really renegotiate, kind of get what you want. I still am scratching my head on the fact that they drafted Jordan Love last year in the first round. Get this guy another receiver to go along with Devontae Adams. Maybe get some help on the linebacker core for Green Bay. Do something to benefit this football team, not someone that's going to help you in 4 years and who's going to expire on their rookie contract.
They've never had a defense for him. I mean, we can talk about this for a decade, what they've done. And they've continued to draft on the opposite side of the ball. But at some point, they have to be able to get a stop. And then you have the LaFleur decision that he's going to put the game in the hands of his defense. They're going to kick the field goal on fourth and goal.
Well, I always used to ask the question, did Don Shula hate Dan Marino? Because he always kept Tom Olivadotti as his defensive coordinator. Marino never got any help defensively. And it's the same thing to me with Aaron Rodgers. No running back, no defense. I mean, yes, they've had some guys intermittently there, but not consistent. And I think from his position, you can see why he's trying to potentially force their hand. I mean, it makes complete sense considering, look, to me, here's how I forget. I still contend that the decision on second down and 18 to throw the ball was a bad one. You should have just run the ball twice, punt the ball. Tampa gets the ball. Best case scenario at their own 30 with no timeouts and about 18 seconds remaining. But more importantly, that decision at the end of the game says, we don't necessarily believe in you. We believe in our defense more. We're going to get a stop. You're going to get the ball back, and then you're going to go down the field.
It's absolutely mind-numbing to think about that. I mean, you have the quarterback playing at the top of his game at this point in his career. He so masterfully controlled the game. He gave them two drives to get them back into the game when they were down three scores and did not give him an opportunity on fourth and nine from the goal line to have a chance to tie the game. I just don't know what LaFleur was thinking there. I know the analytics people will say it improved their chances 2% by kicking the field goal, but the chance of never getting the ball back is what overweighs everything to me.
Couldn't agree with you more. I want to switch to some props on the Super Bowl coming up. Let's start with the team totals. Tampa currently sitting at 26.5. The Kansas City Chiefs at 30.5, Mike. Anything jump out to you? Because from when I looked at this, I was like, the one that I would probably look at a little bit more closely for me is probably the Tampa one over.
Yeah, I like that. The pace of the game will be very important. I don't think there's going to be a lot of running in this game. And we saw when they played the first time, the Chiefs got out to the big lead, and then in the second half, Brady steadily came back, and they got back that game back with inside the number. I think that if you're looking at this game from a perspective of this of the tackles injuries, I think you could lean a little bit to the under 30.5 on the Chiefs if you think that Tampa's going to be able to get to Mahomes.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul had two sacks in that game against Green Bay. Now you're looking at replacing Eric Fisher, two-time Pro Bowler. He's done a terrific job for them. Remember, this would be, in theory, the third new starter on the offensive line in the Super Bowl because Duvernay, who started last year, he did not come back to the team this year, opted out due to COVID because he's helping out in Montreal in terms of on the first responders, doing a terrific job. So to me, this is some concern when you look at how well this Tampa team has played in terms of getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, and that's really what they've done. They did it also the first time with – I mean, Green Bay averaged less than a sack per game outside of the two games they played against Tampa, right? And Tampa blew them up twice and put all this pressure on Rodgers. So that's impressive. I think they also did a good job slowing down New Orleans. Obviously, we saw in the playoffs their defense came back. We didn't see – there was a lull in the season, and maybe it was the lack of competition, where the Tampa Bay defense didn't perform to the level that they did in that first Green Bay game. But you can see them getting their swagger and their confidence back now.
No question. I want to go to a couple other props here. This is an interesting one. In terms of total touchdown, Buccaneers over under 1.5 in both halves. Chiefs over under 1.5 in both halves. And Chiefs are -165 in both halves. I feel like if you're confident, you take the first half because generally speaking, to me, that's where you're going to see more scoring.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a short price on Chiefs first half to get two touchdowns. Because this team doesn't – now, they get a little – in the second half, Reed likes to kick field goals. They've been in the lead all the time, right? Yeah. They're always in front. So there's where you get situations where he's going to get a little more conservative and he's not going to go fourth and one and fourth and two. But they put the foot on the gas in the first half in all of these games. And so you really – you've got to – for them not to get two touchdowns, you've got to stop them four or five times in a first half.
Well, not only that, think about this scenario. Generally speaking, that two-minute sequence when a team is operating in a two-minute offense, it's such an advantage in terms of on betting for totals or scoring. Because generally speaking, you've got to go about 40 yards to get in field goal range. But we're talking about touchdowns here. If you're trailing, you're going to be a little bit more aggressive. We saw it with Seattle in the Super Bowl against New England a few years back. They were trailing. They were struggling in that first half. All of a sudden, they get two touchdowns in that first half, get things level. So take a look at that one. A first half over 1.5 for the Kansas City Chiefs. How about this one? Score first and win. Chiefs +155. The no is -$2. How about the Buccaneers +$3 and then -420? See, to me, this is where if you can manipulate the in-game markets, this is to your advantage. You take the Buccaneers to score first, yes, to win at +$3, score and win first. And then if they score first, just bet the Chiefs on the other side of the money line. You're guaranteeing yourself a profit.
Yeah, you can set that up very well. I don't know how long that goes until the coin toss as well to see who gets the ball first. I would say on this touchdowns too, I would bet Tampa in the second half over 1.5 -122. if the theory of the game is they're not going to be way out in front like they were with Green Bay, and Brady will have to lead them back or in a close game, I like the second half for Tampa better than the first half.
Oh, plus, based on the way Brady played in that second half, you feel like you're more confident with him in the first half. I'm not sure what we're going to get out of him. I mean, he threw three picks in that one. It could have been four. I forgot who it was in the secondary for Green Bay that basically let the ball go through his arms before Tampa ends up getting a touchdown there. That was a critical play in the game.
Yes, it was. He tried to give the ball to him four times.
Yeah, it was really unbelievable what he was trying to do. But, you know, Brady's always been known as a guy who's he likes everybody, gets along with everybody. He was trying to include the Green Bay Packers in on that. So, Mike, I want to switch gears a little bit. Let's go to the hardwood. Very short slate in the NBA tonight. You've got three games. And the big news in between the Clippers and the Hawks, no Kawhi Leonard, no PG, and, of course, no Patrick Beverley in this one. Clippers and the Hawks, still the Clippers were showing as about a 2.5-point favorite in this game. To me, this is one where now the spread is actually, let me correct something. The spread has now gone to -5 with the announcement of those guys being out. Total of 221.5. This is interesting. You've got the Hawks at -210 on the money line. I have to tell you, this is not my kind of play where I would be backing the Clippers. If anything, I look at the Hawks, but my God, I'm not a big fan of betting on a team like the Atlanta Hawks. There's a lot of small college conferences I can bet on instead.
That's true. There's tough spots in the NBA. I mean, you saw last night with Embiid being out. They can't win without Embiid, yeah. Right? So that changed that whole game. And now where you thought you're looking Philadelphia because they're on a roll, you take a shot with the Pistons and they were in control. Are you going to try to fade the Clippers here with Leonard and Paul George being out? I don't know. I'd probably going to stay away till I watch the team play a game or two without him.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would be more concerned about backing this team. And here's the other thing. Clippers are playing well, extremely well. But the one thing that you have to look at is for the Clippers, it's about being healthy, getting into the postseason. The regular season reality doesn't mean that much. And by the way, if they get to the conference finals and they face what would likely be the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James last night going off, 46 points in his return to Cleveland, 7 for 11 from downtown. I don't think it really matters when you're at the Staples Center and there's no fans.
That's exactly correct, Amal.
I mean, to me, so if you're the Clippers and the Lakers, you basically almost work in cahoots and say, listen, we're probably going to be the top two teams. We're not really worried about where we wind up in the standings. So from that perspective, something to keep an eye out for. Return to the nation's capital tonight for John Wall and the Washington Wizards. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I thought the game was in Washington. It's actually in Houston. As he returns for the Wizards, he'll be taking on the Houston Rockets, or he's on the Rockets now. You know what? Listen, I didn't realize John Wall's still playing anymore. My God, the guy's missed so many games the last few years.
2 years.
That's what I'm saying. He's missed so many games. It's been unbelievable. Rockets are a 3.5-point home favorite in this one, -155, total of 232. You know, I was looking at the Golden State game yesterday and the Lakers' first half. It's unbelievable. Nobody plays defense in the NBA anymore. It's just unbelievable how they just – it's like traffic cones out there on defense.
I like betting unders in the NBA. It's you can't watch the game if you're going to bet it. I mean, if you think you have an angle, just play it and then look at the final score.
That's the exact same thing I do. There's no reason to give yourself an ulcer throughout the game.
There's too many possessions. You can't sweat them.
Well, it's not just that. Everybody comes down. You're not sure of the one possession where they won't shoot a three-pointer. And, I mean, guys are open. Guys are just – I mean, I feel like it's like, hey, listen, man, I'm going to let you go get 35 tonight. Just make sure you don't defend me on the other end.
That should be like Loyola Marymount used to play with Paul Westhead. You know what I mean? He said shoot threes or layups. That's it.
You know, it's funny, though. You look at some of the stats. Oklahoma State last night, I like what they did. They didn't actually try to do that against Iowa State because they had an inside advantage. But to me, too many teams are interested in guarding the perimeter in the NBA. I think there's opportunities if you're actually willing to take 15-foot jumpers, but it seems like everybody's allergic to it.
No, they're all going for the 26-foot bombs.
That's exactly. Another game in the NBA tonight, the Knicks at the Utah Jazz. Currently, the Utah Jazz second in three-point field goal percentage in the NBA. They are an 11.5-point favorite, -670 on the money line. The New York Knicks +480. This one has a total of 211. You know, you can tell it's the Utah Jazz involved when you see a total under 220.
They've been playing awfully well on the defensive side of the ball as well. And 10 covers in 12 games, that's pretty impressive, Amal.
It really is to be able to do that. I think this is a little bit of a tricky number. The Knicks, by the way, chance potentially for the postseason this year. This team is playing much better. I don't want to get Knicks fans' hopes up. They haven't won a title since 1973. I'm not saying you plan the parade route down Madison Avenue, but it's going to be a while.
Well, it'll be a little bit exciting to get them back in the playoffs, maybe rejuvenate some interest in basketball there in New York City.
What, you mean to tell me they're not a fan of the team across in the other borough in Brooklyn?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, you got the flat earther. You got the guy that's never played defense in his life in James Harden, and you got Kevin Durant, the most sensitive guy in the history of time.
But that's your super team now.
Yeah, it is your super team. Yeah, it's your super team until they get to the final. I can't wait till this team winds up in a playoff game in a late game situation, and Kyrie Irving brings the ball up the floor for 18 seconds and just dribbles it right into the hardwood, and then in the post game press conference to hear Kevin Durant and James Harden. I mean,
it'll happen.
100% it's going to happen. Listen, I give Kyrie Irving all the credit in the world for hitting that shot against the Warriors, but I'll tell you, the flat earther now thinks he's absolutely without question the best player in the league. Remember he said, I don't think I played with a closer until I got to Brooklyn? I must have missed that LeBron James era for the last 15 years.
Maybe it was more him than LeBron in Cleveland, and obviously there were problems in Boston. He didn't fit in, so it might just be him.
You think? Yeah. By the way, I don't think Duke missed him. He only played 10 games at Duke as well during his tenure there.
Krzyzewski a little prickly now. See that?
No. Let me tell you something. He's always been prickly, but when you have 5 national championships, everybody sweeps it under the rug, and the people covering them at the Raleigh Observer and everywhere else make about $12 an hour, and they're afraid to lose their job. That's the problem. Krzyzewski's been doing that for a long time. When we come back, we'll talk hardwood hoops. We'll get into it. Kentucky back on the road in Tuscaloosa. Do you take the Kentucky Wildcats based on the number now? We'll discuss that next. To hire, you need Indeed. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates from our resume database when you upgrade your job post. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. Want to give you guys a quick update on soccer right now. We were talking about it when we started on the air. Leeds United and Newcastle United now 2-1 in favor of Leeds United. Mike, this was a 1-0 game at halftime, and all of a sudden, 2 goals in about the first 15 minutes of the second half.
57th minute and 62nd minute, back-to-back. And there you go. Now I got a tough sweat on 3.5.
Yeah, you really do. With 26 minutes remaining, and especially with this one being at 2-1, it's usually if you have a tie, if you have a 4.5.
Much better spot.
Absolutely right. Let's switch to the hardwood. College basketball tonight, a couple of great games coming up. But let's start down in Tuscaloosa. How about the job Nate Oates' team has done so far this year, leading the SEC at 8-0. They take on the Kentucky Wildcats. They waxed this team in Lexington a couple of weeks back. Now a revenge spot here for Kentucky. Kentucky came in as an 8.5-point underdog, Mike, on the overnight. I jumped on this number. I thought it was too high. Alabama shot the ball particularly well. Line has now come down to 6.5.
The last 5 at home, Alabama's average winning margin is 85-67. Kentucky's strange. They're 5-9. The 5 times they've scored 65 or more points them all, they've won. The 9 times they haven't scored 65 points, they've lost. So that's really the defining line for them. They're not a high-scoring team. They're 227th in NCAA Division I in scoring offense.
Well, have you watched them shoot the basketball?
Yeah.
I mean, it's offensive to basketball. This is a team that shoots below 30% from the three-point arc. They got hot against LSU the other day. They're going to have to do a better job at defending John Petty beyond the arc. We saw Petty a week ago in a game I know you had, LSU on the road, hosting Alabama. John Petty, I said he actually should have left at halftime. He was 7-for-9 from downtown in the first half. They scored they had a 60 burger in that one in the first half against LSU.
They could have put up 130 in that game, I thought.
Yeah, in the second half, they kind of slowed down a little bit. They were they were merciful on their opponent.
Yeah, I liked that game getting 1.5 points. I turned it off when it was 30-8.
You kind of felt pretty comfortable.
I said, yeah, I'll check back in the middle second half.
Exactly. Great game tonight at the Frank Irwin Center down in Austin, Texas, by the way. I'll tell you what, save your tweets on that one. I know it's in Austin. But anyway, no Shaka Smart, the head coach for the Texas Longhorns in this one. Oklahoma comes in as a 4-point underdog in this one on the road. Texas is minus 182 on the money line, total of 143. This Texas team, to their credit, has been outstanding this year. Terrific from the perimeter, Mike, 35% from downtown. But they're going to face a team in Oklahoma that's averaging 78 points a game and can score the ball.
Amal, when you're handicapping a game and a head coach is out, and I know it depends on which head coach, what do you think that does for you in terms of this game? Is it worth a point? Is it worth 2 points not having, or is it Is it worth it the other way?
I'm trying not to get kicked off the air two days in on the show, so I'll give you a good political answer. In this particular instance, I don't have that much of a concern. The reality of it is Texas has played particularly well. They can defend. To me, if you look at Shaka Smart's tenure, does it really make that much of a difference?
Well, that was my point in this particular matchup.
Yeah, Austin Reeves has been outstanding for Oklahoma this year. We'll see if he can continue that trend. The one thing I think where Oklahoma has a decided advantage in this game is at the free throw line. This team shoots 77% from the free throw line. That's a huge difference when you're going on the road. Need to be able to make free throws if you're going to be successful in those particular spots. A game that I've got my eye on tonight, Missouri. The Tigers playing well, knock off Tennessee on the road at Thompson Boiling. Now they go down to Auburn. They take on the Tigers in this one. Should be an intriguing matchup. Auburn is now a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup. Total in this one is 150.
I look at the Missouri side. They're a senior-led team against an Auburn team that's very young, relies on their freshmen. And I think that's important when you're looking at going on the road in conference, how much experience your team has. I think this Missouri team is a little bit underrated. They've played well. They played very, 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 very well against Tennessee, and I think the line's wrong here. I think Missouri should be a small favorite.
Well, thank you for your opinion, but I think you're wrong. The reality of it is, to me, I love Auburn in this spot. This is a team that shoots the three ball, not necessarily at a great clip, but they're going to get some shots up. That's what they do. They have taken more three-pointers than two-pointers. Sharif Cooper in the lineup has made a difference for this team, averaging better than 20 points a game. His ball distribution, look, I like Jeremiah Tillman. I like Pinson on the perimeter for this Missouri team. But I think that win against Tennessee was a terrific win. Now you've got a back-to-back game on the road here. I like Auburn the way they're playing. This offense has been flourishing. They put up over 110 against South Carolina on the road. I can appreciate what you're saying. I am not a big fan of, generally speaking, taking teams on the road. And I get the experience perspective. This is an experienced Missouri team. They just don't have enough good enough guys to get to the league.
If Bruce Pearl wasn't on the sidelines for Auburn, would that make a factor in your pick?
It would, because who else is going to berate the referees for 40 minutes a game? I mean, you need that energy and that enthusiasm that he brings to the sideline. I'm a big Bruce Pearl fan. I think he does a terrific job. You've seen how well Auburn has done, particularly in recruiting. They've really changed the face of that program. He's gotten them to a Final Four. But I'm sure when I'm wrong tomorrow, Mike will correct me on that. He will not forget my statement. When we come back on the other side, we'll be joined by Darren Banks in studio. We're going to discuss the NHL.
Gearing up for the big game here at VSiN, and of course keeping you up to date on every other sports betting opportunity on the board. And this week, as you've noticed, we've updated our programming lineup. Lombardi Line is now 2 hours every weekday from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, and we're excited to be here with you for the Nuts from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. We also have our special big game preview show with Brent Musburger coming soon to get you ready for all the Super Bowl betting and prop action. You can always find our lineup on VSiN.com or in your daily VSiN subscriber email, along with all the latest sports betting data and updates from VSiN, the sports betting network. Well, we're back here on the Nuts. Mike Palm with Amal Shaw, and we're very happy to welcome in Darren Banks, former Boston Bruin, NHL enforcer, and first time on the show. Darren, welcome.
Thank you very much, guys.
Hey, thanks for coming in. You're our first official guest.
I feel honored.
For the folks out there that might not know a lot about you, Darren, can you give us a brief background?
I was born in Toronto, grew up in Windsor, Ontario, played mostly all my hockey in Canada until I was 18 years old, and then I went to college and then pros, and I took a long route to get there, to get to the NHL, and now working here at the D in Circa.
Yeah. 13 games on the schedule tonight. It's a great time to have you in here on Tuesdays. We thank you for making the time. What game or games stand out for you tonight, Banksy?
My biggest game is the Islanders. I mean, I call it the COVID All-Stars right now with OVO, Kuznetsov, Samsonov, now Tom Wilson's out. I mean, I don't know how the Islanders can't beat them. And I think right now they're $1.35 in 5.5. I'm taking the over. I mean, that's my biggest game. There's a lot of snoring games like the Detroit and Anaheim. But my other game is Pittsburgh and Boston. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I think Boston's got the edge with the goaltending.
And to your point on the Islanders game, Semyon Varlamov has been outstanding so far for the New York Islanders. But Banksy, instead of the individual games, I want to ask you, as a former player, when you're constantly playing the same teams repeatedly, does that familiarity help you out? Does it kind of create lower scoring games? How does it work? I mean, when you're playing someone, I mean, just you get to a point where we might see some fights as we get later into the season. What really transpires?
I really expect that. I mean, I know when I played back-to-back games against some teams, you know, you take some guys take liberties against other teams, and when they do, or, you know, I think I heard the tough guy for here for the Vegas, and you know, he goes, we got to face him the next night. And if he did something today, tomorrow I'm going to get him, you know, type of thing. So animosity brings up great rivalries. But, I mean, some of these games, Vegas playing teams four games in a row, it's unheard of.
I just think it's so tough when you look at it from a betting perspective, from a, you know, sometimes like revenge is always a huge motivator, like especially if somebody embarrasses you. I feel like that's something you got to take a look at as we go throughout the course of the season in terms of some of these matchups.
Yeah, I mean, you want to watch the game right to the very end. Because somebody might do something silly out there and they just forget, you know, we got to play them tomorrow night. So, I mean, it's great. It's great rivalries are going to, you know, in these divisions now and not playing the other teams. It's unfortunate there's no fans, but, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I mean, my TV's glued to hockey all day long.
Thanks. You're from Windsor. You spend a lot of time in the Detroit area. You still do. What does the addition to Thomas Greiss mean to the Red Wings this year?
I mean, the kid's he's a good goaltender. I mean, you know, they've been, you know, they got a lot of young players, and they got some now. They got some veterans there, but Grace is doing a tremendous job, I think, so far. I mean, he was one of the goalies I was looking at today. I don't think Detroit's going to do a lot. I mean, and they're young; they're really, really young. And Stevie Y, he's a smart man. I mean, he built Tampa Bay, and you see what they did. You know, hopefully, he can do the same thing with Detroit, but it's not going to happen overnight.
You mentioned Tampa, obviously defending Stanley Cup champions. When you are in that position as an opponent, how are you kind of gearing up to face a team like that? Because to me, I feel like now every night, and maybe not as much this year, but you're still going to get pretty much everyone's best shot.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you want to beat the champ, yeah. You know, and if you're playing them, you're going to come out with everything you got, and the coaches are trying some few tricks out there. But you're bringing your best game against Tampa Bay because you want to prove that you're better than them.
I'm sorry. Oilers play the Sharks tonight. They're a slight road favorite against Connor Hellebuck, who's been great, 3-1 with a 2.25 goals against. How do you assess the Oilers so far this year, Banks?
I thought they weren't very good to start off, but you know, last game they played really well. And to me, these are all revenge games. The Edmonton and Winnipeg, they knocked each other out, right, in the playoffs, in the bubble. And the same thing with the Toronto game, Toronto and the Flames. You know, they're knocking each other out in the playoffs. So kind of revenge games, knocking us out of the playoffs. Now we're playing you two or three games in a row. You know, I'm leaning towards Edmonton because I think Connor McDavid, I mean, he's leading the league in points right now. And they're just playing. They're starting to turn the game around. And Zach Cassian is a good buddy of mine on Edmonton. He's starting to play on that first, that number one line. And, you know, he's been called out by the coach for not playing tough enough. So I actually talked to him on the phone the other day, and it was kind of, you know, ironic. And I'm like, come on, that's what you got there for. But, you know, he's turned his game around. He's turned his life around. And, you know, he's playing well now.
You mentioned, let's stay on Edmonton for a second. How good are McDavid and Draisaitl? I mean, these guys, and even Nugent Hopkins, terrific young player. What I hate about Edmonton, it's a smaller market. The time zone becomes difficult. So many people don't get to see the greatness of McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah, McDavid, if you get a chance to watch him play, he's explosive, he's fast. And Draisaitl, I mean, unbelievable how strong he is on the puck. And he doesn't like to give it up, you know, until the last second. So, you know, those two alone are 1-2 punch. You know, they need to score more in their power play to keep that team going. But their biggest downfall is their defense. They really struggle. I mean, I've watched some of the defensive problems that they have. And, you know, they just make a lot of mistakes. But they're like the old Oilers, where if they could score 7 goals and only let in 5, they're okay with it.
Banks, you're good friends with Pete DeBoer, head coach for the Vegas Golden Knights. How difficult is it for him managing a goaltending situation where you really have two number one goalies?
I think he enjoys it. You know, he likes being able to put a guy in today and not have to worry about him playing back-to-back. But, you know, goaltenders, they want to play all the time, all the time. And it's great they have a one, they got a one and a 1B, I call them. And I don't know which one's which, whoever's hot. And hopefully it's something they'll be able to use later on in this, as the season goes on with these back-to-back games. And right now it seems like a guy plays, or he plays two games, and the other guy plays two games, or they go back-to-back. So he's fortunate. But if one gets healthy, obviously he's got to make a decision near playoff time.
You mentioned VGK, Mike. Let's stay on that game. We got about a minute left. Vegas tonight, about a minus 140 favorite against the St. Louis Blues. Good goaltending matchup tonight. Jordan Binnington in net for St. Louis. Then, of course, Robin Leonard for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, but Peter DeAngelo is playing against his team for the first time. You believe me, he's going to put out his best effort out there and prove that he was their captain there, and he's a strong effort here in Vegas.
Yeah, nobody ever likes to be traded. We saw it last night, LeBron James in the NBA, right? He's still been out of Cleveland for a number of years, brought them a title. But trust me, there's just something that gets going in the blood that gets players motivated when they play their former team.
Yeah, he's also putting money up for the game-winning goal. At least we used to back in the day.
love that insight. Banks, I understand we're going to be able to have you join us weekly on the show. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm going to come every week. I love you guys. And Ahmad, I don't think you got one of these yet, but there's your own Darren Banks player hockey card.
I love it. Absolutely. God, look at this guy. This is not a guy you wanted to mess with on the ice back in the day. But tell you one thing, nowadays, couldn't be a nicer guy. If you're down here at the D or the Circus, stop by, say hello. Want to talk some hockey or just talk in general, terrific guy to go up and say hello to. Everybody over here, Derek Stevens' crew is outstanding. When we come back, where are our picks? That's next. Tried BetRivers.com yet? They're giving you a special $500 offer to try their best-in-class online sportsbook and casino. Right now, you get $100 in free bonus money when you deposit $100 with the code BIGGAME500. Then if you make a real money bet of $100 or more on the big game between Kansas City and Tampa, you'll unlock $400 more in bonus money. There's never been a better time to become a member at BetRivers. Go to BetRivers.com today and play with the winner. Must be 21 or older, playable in Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700. In Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. I thought I was reading the lottery numbers off over here. Anyway, Mike, well, that was a great segment with Darren Banks. Looking forward to having him all season long. He really knows what's going on. He literally just came off the ice. He was playing recreational hockey right
every
now.
Every Tuesday morning.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, he's in great shape, still getting out there and getting after it. Want to quickly get back to the college basketball hardwood before we get into our plays. North Carolina and Pittsburgh tonight. This one's going to take place in Pittsburgh. This is a team playing outstanding basketball. Jeff Capel has done a terrific job. I noticed, unlike Mike Krzyzewski, who wanted to opt out, Pittsburgh hasn't said that yet since they're doing well in the ACC. They're about a 3.5-point home dog in this one. It's 3.5 right now. On the money line, you can get North Carolina at minus 167 and Pitt at plus 140, total of 144.5.
I would have to lean to the home dog here, Amal. I'm just not sure how good North Carolina is, and I was always a big North Carolina fan because of Dean Smith. Haven't watched him play a lot this year. Watched him in that preseason tournament, one game against NC State when they won in Raleigh. But I haven't. I know it's a young team. They've got some size. I like the way that Pitt was able to beat Duke, stay on top of Duke. I probably won't play the game. Maybe there's an in-game opportunity if it looks like Pittsburgh's able to control the boards in the first half.
Yeah, this is a game I'm actually leaning towards the over of 144.5. I like the way both teams play with tempo. Pittsburgh can really score the basketball. Mm-hmm. Justin Champagne, you probably know his brother Julian Champagne, who plays at St. John's. Think about this, Mike. Both brothers are leading their respective conferences in scoring, and they're both at 19.9 points per game. Champagne also leading the ACC in terms of rebounding. This is a guy who's going to be first-team ACC as of right now. Should be the conference player of the year. This should be an intriguing game. The one thing with North Carolina is they don't shoot the ball particularly well. But I'll tell you, they crashed the glass as well as any team in college basketball. I think this game should have some tempo. I think it's going to be difficult. I think teams are going to have to shoot really poorly to stay under that 144.5 total. So I'm leaning towards the over on this one. Want to give a couple of quick updates right now, Mike, in terms of soccer and what's going on. We had two games going on in the Premier League, West Ham United and Crystal Palace. That one is now has West Ham and United ahead 3-1 in the 91st minute there. Also, Leeds United leading Newcastle United 2-1, 87th minute. You've got probably it looks like probably about 3 to 4 minutes of stoppage time will add on. So you got to sweat for about 7.5 minutes.
Well, it's a better sweat than I had for 38 minutes. I'll tell you that much. I could have got off of it, but never too much. I could have got almost, you know, plus $2 at the 84-minute mark. Now it's off the board. So we probably got 6 minutes to go here, Amal, and hopefully we don't take a bad beat.
Yeah, absolutely right. This is going to be an intriguing finish. I'll tell you another one that's Tulsa making a push. So what happened? We almost have another goal?
Well, a terrible turnover.
Oh. Tulsa right now trailing against Temple. Temple leading at the Lea Corsas Center 66-53 against Tulsa. Remember, Tulsa was a one-point road favorite in this early start time, 1 o'clock Eastern, and Temple still commanding lead right now as they lead by 13 with 4:19 to go in the second half there. Want to get into some of our plays from last night. Also, maybe discuss if you've got anything else on the Palm Readers playbook in terms of the games coming up later on today.
Yeah, okay. So last night we had the game in Mexico. We had Pachuca and Cruz Azul under 2.5. That game, when we were on air, it was -125. That game closed at 170
wow.
to the under. I didn't get it till 160, 165. I think 160 I laid. But it was a scoreless first half goal in the 62nd minute, and that was it, 1-0. So we're a winner there to start out on the nuts. I have two plays today coming up here at 12:15 Pacific, 3:15 Eastern in the Premier League. I'm going under in the Southampton-Arsenal game, 2.5. I've been playing Arsenal successfully to the unders. I lean Southampton here as well, plus a half a goal. I think this could be a 0-0, 1-1 game of all. I think it will be very competitive. Arsenal has been challenged to score as of late. And then I'm going to go to – that's a two-unit play, by the way. Two units, and it's actually plus 105 now. The number moved better for me. But when we put the number out this morning, it was minus 105. A one-unit play tonight. We talked about Thomas Greiss. He's 0-3, but the goals against only 2-6. Kadobin's been great. He had a shutout, and he allowed two goals in the other game. Both wins against the Predators for the Stars. The Red Wings are a big dog tonight down at American Airlines in Dallas. I like this game under 5.5, and I'll lay 120 that there's not two goals in the first period.
You know, I want to go back to your Southampton-Arsenal game here for a second. You mentioned taking the under 2.5. Just a quick stat on Southampton this year. They've played 18 games. Six have only gone over the 2.5 goal total. So think about their 12 of their matches have stayed at two goals or less. Really not a nice job. And even Arsenal, for that matter, playing 19 matches, 10 games have gone over 2.5, nine or under it. But you like your chances, especially with Southampton on that side there. Last night at Oklahoma State, the Cowboys went into Ames, Iowa, and absolutely abused the Iowa State Cyclones last night. It reminded me of a game when you play pickup basketball and you got one squad with guys that are 6'4", and the other ones are like five guys at 5'7". That's exactly what it was last night.
It looked like the drill where you lay it up at the board, a rebound drill. That's all they did around the glass.
That's exactly right. They really did a nice job. But they had 22 turnovers. I mean, think about this. If you don't have 22 turnovers, you probably win that game by 25-30 on the road. But either way, I'll take the W. Tonight, I've got two plays, but I'll tell you the one I want to caution because I took it yesterday. Kentucky was plus 8.5 on the opener. Mike, I thought this was too high in a revenge spot. I know you're a big fan of this Alabama Crimson Tide team and what they can do offensively. I was actually surprised you didn't have Alabama in your plays.
Well, as this game drifts down, if it gets down to 5.5, I probably will. I mean, it's a big difference between 8.5 and 5.5. This is where Calipari's teams start to develop, though. I mean, he always starts out with a whole new group of kids every year, and he's got to teach them how to play defense and rebound. The problem with this team, like you said, they don't shoot the ball particularly well. This should be a good matchup, though. Mississippi State and Ben Holland challenged Alabama over the weekend. That was a tight game.
Yeah, Mississippi State played well in that game on the road there, but when you look at it from the front court perspective, they don't have the size that you're going to see out of Kentucky. Kentucky's going to have to defend the three better than they did at Rupp when Alabama came in there and just absolutely embarrassed them in that game. To me, I like Kentucky in the revenge spot. This line is now down to 6.5. I don't know if I'd necessarily be thrilled about taking that number. If it pops back up to 7.5 or so, I would take a look at taking Kentucky again. I'm going to go to a game that I want to give out that because I want people to be able to get a fair and reasonable number. I'm not going to give you a number that I got yesterday and that's not readily available. I think that's absolutely so disingenuous, and I hate when people do that. Just because you were fortunate enough to get a good number, don't sit there and present it as something to other people. Auburn tonight at home, -2.5 against Missouri. I know Mike likes the other side in this game, but I'm going to roll with the Tigers here. I love the way Bruce Pearl's team is playing. They play with energy at home. I love Missouri because they defend so well. You look at Konzo Martin's squad, they're experienced, they've got Size Tillman inside, but can they really defend this team on the perimeter tonight? And the other thing is Missouri is not a team that's particularly effective from beyond the arc. That could be a little bit of a concern. Total of 150 in this game. I think it's going to be a competitive, tight game. To me, though, I give Auburn a slight edge at home in this one.
I'm not playing the game. I just looked at the road team here for the reasons I mentioned with the experience factor against a bunch of freshmen playing for Bruce Pearl.
No, I mean, look, the reality is it's not a bad spot if you like Missouri. They went into Tennessee, and it was a wire-to-wire job against Rick Barnes' team. They were dominant in that game. This is a team that knocked off Oregon earlier this year. This is they knocked off the Illini. This is a good basketball team. I just feel like right now the offense with Sharif Cooper in there has become a completely different team. His ability to dribble, penetrate, and knock these guys on the perimeter. If you take out Cooper's three-point field goal percentage, he's around 20%. The other four top scorers for Auburn are all better than 35% beyond the arc. I think they should be able to get some good looks tonight. This should be a fun, entertaining game. Even if you're not betting on one, if you want to watch a good basketball game, this is probably one you're going to want to tune in for. Mike, I want to go back to everybody's favorite sport, the National Football League, the NFL. Right now, the Chiefs are sitting as a three-point favorite, and I'll tell you, you and I were talking about this, and this is a concern for me. The injuries along the offensive line, Schwartz is out. Mitchell Schwartz, I almost called him his brother, Jeff Schwartz, who's come on VSiN many, many times. And then, of course, Eric Fisher. So to lose those guys on that front offensive line really has an impact.
It's very impactful because that's the best side of the ball for the Chiefs, and they need to give Mahomes time. And when they give him time, they're very tough to stop. So we're going to have to see how this develops and how intact they're going to be. Remember, Mo, we're still almost 12 days away from the Super Bowl. That can still change.
You're absolutely right. Mike Remmers potentially in at left tackle. If obviously, we know Fisher's going to be out, and you're looking at Steven Wisniewski in there for Schwartz. I already forget these guys'
Mitchell
names.
Schwartz.
Yeah, thanks.
By the way, Jeff Schwartz is terrific.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
I love to hear him break down a game. He was on the podcast that I do with Gil 2 weeks ago in the divisional round. He has a player perspective on tendencies and things. Like he's a great listen.
I tell you what, Mike Palm in good position here right now as Leeds turns it over. Yeah. I thought they were going to call a foul there. Still 2-1, Leeds United leading Newcastle United at St. James Park. They're in the 94th minute, and there's 4 minutes of stoppage time, so we'll see if they get the final whistle there. Mike, I want to get back to one thing on the NFL game here. You mentioned, and I think you talked about the Kansas City offense, and rightfully so, but I feel like people are not giving this Chiefs defense enough credit. They have played particularly well. If you look at it during the game yesterday or on Sunday, it was a 38-6 run. Buffalo scored the first 9 points. Then Kansas City outscored them 38-6, and then Buffalo scored the final 9 points.
Yes. We talked about this is a better defense than their Super Bowl winning team that they had of a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've been able to get stops. I mean, they played well. Listen, remember, they only scored 22 points against Cleveland and were able to win that game 22-17. So they have been able to get stops. They are the underrated side of the four in this game.
But to your point, if I told you before the game started that the Chiefs are only going to score 22 points on offense against the Browns, you probably don't think they win that football game.
I would have said it would have been tough. I would have made him a dog in that spot.
Absolutely right. By the way, final at St. James Park. It is Leeds United knocking off Newcastle United 2-1. So, Mike, you get the W there on the under 4.5 on the or 3.5 on the in-game there. But to me, you know, you look at this matchup, I'm with you. Unless you really feel like you have an edge on one side or the other, I think you wait and see if either you get a move of 2.5 or potentially 3.5, which I think it's going to be tough to come by. But still, take a wait-and-see approach.
I think a lot of people, because this number sits 3, you see a ton of prop action this year.
Yeah, I can't wait. By the way, I'm really hoping Auburn wins this game tonight. I don't want to lose the bet, and I don't want to hear about it from Mike Palm as I criticized him for even suggesting the Missouri Tigers on the road in Conzo Martin. That's going to do it for us here on The Nuts today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll see how we do on our best bets. Also, break down more of the prop bets coming out for the Super Bowl.